This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, yo, rocking and rolling, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I got a big night of TV watching. This is a reality TV show night tonight for your boy. I actually think, let me double check here, because I was late last night as I got into my apartment at about like 2:10, 2:15 a.m. Eastern time. I never got back from the game. I got an alert that there was a new episode available, and I believe it's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Oh, that doesn't start until Sunday? May 5th. My Friday night's ruined. I thought I was going to get back-to-back reality TV night tonight. I missed Jersey Shore last night because it was the Sixers game. So I got to watch Jersey Shore Family Vacation and see Mike the Situation like throw it down with Angelina's boyfriend as I saw the preview for that. And then I thought I was going to be able to watch Real Housewives of New Jersey. So guess that's not happening. Is there a TV show that you guys have before we get to a news brief that's like a guilty pleasure show? For some reason, for me, it's Jersey Shore. It's Real Housewives of New Jersey. And the way that I started watching Real Housewives of New Jersey was when our colleague Tiki Barber and his wife were on the show for a year. And I'm like, oh, it's like good like office fodder. I like reality TV, so let me just check it out. And even though Tiki and his wife were only on it for a year, I kept on watching it afterwards. And that's how I understand someone's character, by the way, and I judge someone's character, is if someone watches The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and right, like, I'm at an age now where you're meeting a lot of people's like future significant others and things like that. So when I'm talking to like some of my friends' future significant others, I will throw out there, you know, I'm a big reality TV fan. You know, we talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I say, are you team Melissa Gorga or are you team Teresa Giudice? And the people that say they're team Teresa Giudice, I just know, character flaw. Like, if I was an NFL scout and you have, like, some of the character flaws when you go through the process, that's my question. You familiar with the show Real Housewives of New Jersey? Gorga or Giudice? Who do you think's in the right? If you say Teresa Giudice, I think that's a major, major, major character flaw. Slimy. Very slimy human being she is. So a lot of people get very surprised when they see this like big, burly sports guy. Oh, you talk about sports? Yeah, no, I have a reality TV side in me. What's your guilty pleasure show, Samter? Samter, for some reason, I could see Samter like a Friday night. Wife out of town with the baby. Maybe they're going to visit some family and Sam can say it for work or something. But just like a big pint of ice cream on the couch watching what show? What is it?
This isn't with my wife out of town. This is because of my wife. So it's with the wife right there next to me.
With the missus.
Yeah, it's the worst thing that's ever happened that we got into the show and I can't help it. But we watch every season and they have like 1,000 spinoffs of this one show. It's called 90 Day Fiancé.
And basically, I've heard about that.
It's on TLC. The basic premise is that if somebody wants to get married with somebody else from overseas, they bring the person here on what they call a K-1 visa, and they have 90 days to get married, or else that person has to go back to whatever country they came from. And a lot of times, they're scams, and a lot of times, you know, the people are just trying to get a green card. But oftentimes, they're, like, coming here for love, and it's really interesting to see all the dynamics of the different cultures, the different countries, the different language barriers, the men, the women. It's just absolutely the worst, most ridiculous show that you've ever seen. But then they have 90 Day the Other Way, where you go to that other person's country. They have 90 Day before the 90 Day when they first meet. They have Happily Ever After they get married. They've got a million different offshoots, and we watch every single one of them, and that's my absolute guilty pleasure.
Stu, what's your show? What Taylor Swift show do you watch?
It's not Taylor Swift. My girlfriend has gotten me into both The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not terrible, though. Which one do you like better?
Probably The Bachelor, because I feel like the guy always makes a fool out of himself for the most part.
Yeah. Aren't some of those shows... I have not watched The Bachelor in a long time.
Yeah.
Don't like people come on the show now with like a girlfriend and they just do it for the fame?
Yeah. I know The Golden Bachelor... They got married, and after like 3 months, they broke up, so...
Yeah, there was one of the Love Islands. I watched one of the Love Islands, the longest commitment show, where you watch it once, and it's like, I can't do it again. It's like 30 episodes, and they're an hour long. I don't remember the girl's name. That girl was smoking hot, too. But the guy, his last name was Crap. Grant Crap. And he went on the show with a girlfriend. And I, like, love this couple. They were a great couple. And the show ends, and they mention that there's speculation that he has a girlfriend. So I just watched this episode. It's like 2-3 years ago. 30 episodes, an hour long. And then I have to watch all the reunion shows. I'm watching all the interviews across the pond, too, that they're doing at local radio stations. It's like a big deal. I'll tell you, this girl I used to date, the two shows that I could not stand, like they creep me out and I have to watch them. You ever see the 1,000-Pound Sisters? That show is repulsive, number one. And then you ever see the Dr. Pimple Popper?
Oh, I love those.
Oh, you're a sick human being.
I scroll through TikTok
sick
and like, those
human
pimple
being.
Popping videos just like they catch me.
When I had to watch Dr. Pimple Popper, that's when I knew this relationship was not going to work out. Like, you obsess over that show. It is disgusting. And, like, I know sometimes people think, like, oh, big tough guy, all that stuff. Like, that's a show when you watch it. I'm like, oh, this. Like, you know when a player tears his ACL and you just see the leg and, like, I don't need to see the replay? Dr. Pimple Popper is the equivalent of that. Disgusting.
Yeah, see, I'm the guy who needs to watch the replay 9 times. Like that Kevin Ware injury, I've seen 1,000 times.
Oh, no!
It's something about the pimple popping and the broken legs. There's just something that, like, it's a draw. Hence why there's channels dedicated to pimple popping and shows dedicated to all this kind of nastiness. People like it. I don't know why I like it, but I do.
But as gross as Dr. Pimple Popper is, the 1,000-Pound Sisters show is some of the most sad and just, like, disgusting thing I've ever seen. Like, how that gets on TV is crazy to me. And there's so many... Oh, I love that show. I love that show. You know, my own mother, she loves that show. And I'm like, Mom, how do you watch this? It is repulsive to watch that show. Anyway, it is a Friday. So, 7 minutes in on reality TV. I don't need to do any more. You know, next thing you know, oh, Zach, someone got offended that you don't like Dr. Pimple Popper or you don't like the 1,000-Pound Sister. You said some girl was smoking hot and I got a call from our new boss, Ryan Hurley, and David Mayernick on a Friday when I'm just trying to unwind and relax and chill out. And then the weekend gets ruined. So let's get to a news brief, Stu, all right?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Ben Bozo in the YouTube chat. Great name. My guilty pleasure is the Zach Gelb show. It's a good line. We thank you, Ben Bozo. Let's go to John Lynch, not a Bozo. He's on the Pat McAfee show. Could the 49ers still trade Ayuk or Deebo?
I love our roster. I love the way it's comprised. As I said, we were right there, and we got to find a way to get just a little bit better. I'm doing everything in my power to keep our roster together, and that's my goal, and I don't question that. I've got so much belief. When you talk about guys like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo, they're guys we drafted. They're guys we take a lot of pride in what they've become, who they've become, and we couldn't be more proud of those guys. And so you know, during the course of drafts and off seasons, do conversations happen? Absolutely, they do. We're past that now. And, you know, we're thrilled to add to that group.
So that's fine to say, but I take it with a grain of salt. Because you still haven't given Brandon Ayuk a new contract. You give Brandon Ayuk a new contract, okay, you know he's staying there. But then the question becomes, are you going to get rid of Deebo Samuel? So I'm not ready to say both of them will be on the roster come week one. Here is Patrick Mahomes on the game-winning TD in the Super Bowl and the play call behind it. This is on the I'm Paul Silve podcast. Oh, with Logan Paul. Go ahead.
The last touchdown at the Super Bowl. Overtime?
Yeah.
I mean, bro, freaking out.
Dude, that play was freaking sweet.
Corn dog.
It was not supposed to go to the guy that caught the touchdown. So
really,
we ran the corn dog one against the Eagles. Sorry, touchdown, won the game. And then we were gonna run a fake version of that, and then we were gonna do a little shovel pass, and it was wide open again. So next year, New Orleans, we're gonna do it again. We're gonna do it again. I'm telling you now.
Next year, New Orleans. Super Bowl is in New Orleans. Santa will have a bunch of beignets. What's the drink there? Hurricane, right?
A little po' boy.
Yeah, get some alligator too. Some gator down in New Orleans. And I guess I'll be seeing your Chiefs. Is that a guarantee? Right? Sounds like a guarantee to me.
Hey, listen, I had Joe Namath. Now I'll have Patrick Mahomes. I love it.
By the way, Moist Pork did bring up a very good comment. He tweeted me, at Zach Gelb. And also, I think we need to change your Twitter handle, by the way. Because he tagged you, too. Your Twitter handle is at Big Mike CBS. I think it's time for a change.
Yeah, CBS doesn't stand for what you think it stands for.
Okay, I guess we'll have a discussion after the break. What does it stand for? Can't be small?
Oh, I can be very small.
So he says, Samter likes to watch pimple popping, but he can't stand the word moist. It's a very fair point. Like how I freak out over the pimple popper show, you freak out over when people say the word moist. Correct, Amunda? So, you know, no comment on that, nothing?
I mean, it's true.
Yeah? What is it with you and moist? Why do you hate that word?
It's just gross. And like, if you say it,
moist,
that combination of M O I,
boy,
it sounds like you're throwing up. Like every time I say the word, yeah, I feel like I'm vomiting as I say it.
Do you really?
Moist. It's gross.
Okay. Let's go to Ezekiel Elliott.
How do you want to prove in this new era?
You know, I'm just the guy unfinished business. Here to chase a ring.
Here to chase a ring. Is Zeke married? The only ring you'd be chasing is a wedding ring if you're not. A Super Bowl ring with the Cowboys? Come on. Give me a break. Here is Joel Embiid on the first round loss to the New York Knicks.
I mean, it sucks to lose. The goal is to win a championship. Anytime that don't happen, that's all I care about. I don't care, you know, if I got to the second one. That does not mean anything to me. We just didn't accomplish what we wanted to. And, you know, the thing is, you know, we believe in ourselves so much that, you know, we believe that we actually, you know, could have won it. But everything didn't go out the way, you know, we wanted to. You know, had a lot of different circumstances. But it's also exciting to look at the future, to look what's in front of you. But it's also easier said than done.
So what are then the changes, big fella, that the Sixers need to make?
I like our group of guys. I think we have, you know, an amazing group of guys. Obviously, it didn't work out this year, but we also played a great team. You know, the New York Knicks, they did a great job, and, you know, they played together for a long time. So I like our guys. You know, obviously, they got a lot of decisions to be made. But I think the group of guys that we had this year, that were amazing. And I still believe that, you know, if everything went right, you know, we had a chance. So, but everything didn't go right.
I don't think the Sixers had a chance to win a championship this year. They needed another piece. They allocated so much money to Tobias Harris. He was a big fat zero in game 6, literally, had 0 points. That's inconceivable. They should try to go get Paul George. And I usually would not advocate bringing in an older star, but they have a two or three more year of a chance if you get the right complementary other piece in there with Embiid. Because Embiid consistently is not able to stay healthy this time of the year. Here is Tyrese Maxey on the close series against the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It was tough. I think we were just talking about the point differential. I think it was what, plus one them. I think that's probably one of the closest series that I've been in my young career. So, you know, it was tough. That was a well-fought series. I mean, you know, hats off to them. You know, those guys, they made shots. They made big-time shots. And we just talked about it. Josh Hart made big-time shots game one. He made big-time shots game six. You know, got the ball at Jalen Brunson's hands at the end. And, you know, he hit a big one.
Let's go to Patrick Beverly. I told you how much of a clown this guy was earlier, throwing a basketball into the stands, hit a woman in the face, then threw it back into the stands. And then he had this incident with a longtime ESPN producer after the game.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before I finish. Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump. Or maybe,
oh my God, my face, please.
Was it anything they did in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over, kind of like you have in the past?
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Can you just not be an ass? Seriously. You already made yourself to look like an ass on the court when you hit a woman in the face with the basketball. And then here is this longtime producer just doing her job collecting sound. You don't subscribe to my podcast, so you can't stand in front of me? Ugh, insufferable. Absolutely insufferable. Like, what a loser, what a clown. And I like Pat Bev, but it's just such low-class behavior. Now, there is a source off right now. Told you earlier, Front Office Sports is reporting that Pat Bev has been banned from future guest appearances on ESPN shows. That is getting refuted by Austin Karp, who is the managing editor and digital at the Sports Business Journal. He's saying, source close to the situation actually tells me Pat Bev is not being banned from the ESPN airwaves. So who knows what to believe. Let's go to Draymond Green. Continue the Pat Bev conversation. Draymond Green, oh, the irony in this on the Draymond Green Show via The Volume, talking about Patrick Beverly.
Pat Bev threw a ball at a fan last night. Pat keep having these instances after they lose, like in these playoff games. That one might have been crazier than the CP push because it opens up an entirely different can of worms. Like, Adam gonna have a problem on his hands with this one because it's about as close as you can get to going in the stands. That is forbidden for us. Then Pat didn't follow it up very well because he followed it up with getting into it with the female reporter. I ain't never heard somebody say, if you ain't subscribed to my podcast, don't ask me a question. Pat, you can't keep having these moments, man, at the end of these losses. You're starting to look like the kid that's going to grab the ball and say, I'm going home. This is, I can't play. We out of here. We leaving the park. It's my ball. Come on, Pat.
Here's the thing. He's not wrong in anything that he just said. But look who the source is. You can't keep on having these moments. Draymond, you've been having these moments for 4 or 5 years now. And you keep on having moments. Ay, ay, ay. You know, I'm split on that one. Because Draymond's right in what he says, but it's funny when Draymond says it. Because it's like, dude, the irony in that. You know, I kind of want to see Draymond and Pat Bev be on the same team next year. Make Adam Silver's life easier. Just watch one game and decide where all the suspensions are going. Alrighty. Actually, one more. Here is Doc Rivers. His thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks season.
I don't know where my thoughts are right now. I really like this team. You know, obviously we're going to have to do some things, right? but never really having the chance to do any of the two-man game that you're talking about with Dame and Giannis. We did it on that West Coast trip, and it was starting to cook, and then I think Dame went out, then Giannis went out.
It's kind of sad what Doc Rivers has become. No one believes in Doc Rivers anymore. He shouldn't be the coach of this team. But they do have a, like, you don't want to hear excuses when your team loses, but this is a legitimate excuse. Dame wasn't healthy. Giannis wasn't healthy. What else did you expect? That team, if they were healthy, now there's moments where they were healthy and then they still didn't like the coach even though they had a good record and they brought in Doc Rivers. But when both of those guys miss games in this series, it gives you the get-out-of-jail-free card. All right, that's a news brief. Coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where we will discuss Darvin Ham getting fired. Oh, I said it's CBS Sports Radio. Sorry, Infinity. I lose another quarter. All righty. Come on. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? I'm just trying to get through this Friday show, and I call it the old name of the network. I got to be $4 in this mug. I got to go add another quarter. I'll do that when we come on back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Eastwood Homes has fantastic news, offering 4.99 on select homes for a limited time. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Your dream home is waiting, with open floor plans perfect for family gatherings and private backyards for grilling and entertaining this summer. Tour one of our 18-plus communities located in the Charlotte area today. Yes, you heard it right. Only 4.99% on select homes. Visit eastwoodhomes.com. That's eastwoodhomes.com. Prices and promotions subject to change without notice. See new home specialist for details.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The least surprising news of the day. We will react to it now, and that is the fact that Darvin Ham has been dismissed by the Los Angeles Lakers. I will give you my reaction in a second because I have something to say when I hear that Shams Charania report that an extensive search will commence and the candidates will be Mike Budenholzer, Kenny Atkinson, and J.J. Redick, and then also, if he becomes available, Ty Lue. So forget about the candidates, Stu, because I'll get your thoughts on this, but you being the Laker fan on this show, you can't be surprised by the Darvin Ham firing, but your thoughts on it.
Yeah, not surprising at all. I don't think he was a great coach, but I certainly don't think it's his fault. Like, I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't fire him. I would give him another chance. I also didn't think Frank Vogel deserved to be fired. I think they should have stuck with Vogel.
I agree with you on that.
And just kept it going with him. But, yeah, it's not his fault. But like you said, it's so predictable. And it's probably going to be J.J. Redick. And it's just going to be a disaster.
How many coaches have they had in L.A. with LeBron? Just let me see how that Mike Brown was there, right, with LeBron? I think very briefly. You had Luke Walton was there. You had Frank Vogel. And then, obviously, Darvin Ham. Am I missing anybody else, Stu? Right? That's the only coaches,
right? That sounds right.
LeBron got there, 2019?
2019, yeah. The year before the pandemic, yeah. So 2019 was his first year.
Okay. 2018, 2019 was when he first got there. Yeah, it was Luke Walton. So maybe Mike Brown. Was Mike Brown not there?
So Mike Brown was with when they still had Kobe.
Okay. Why did I think that Mike Brown was brought back to Lakers for another go? Okay, yeah.
Yes. So it started with Walton. Walton was the coach the
so
first
year. So
it was
year. Walton, Vogel, and Ham.
Yep,
those are the coaches that he had. So those are the coaches for LeBron.
Feels like more than that. It does feel like more than three.
The guy's a coach killer.
Yeah.
David Black, like, it worked. He got rid of David Blatt, right? David Blatt was the Bucks coach this year. The record was good, and they got rid of him, except the Bucks didn't have the Cavs ending because Ty Lue ended up winning a championship. He wanted Spoelstra gone in Miami. And then Pat Riley's like, we're not firing Eric Spoelstra, and I'm not coaching. And then in L.A., Walton gone, Vogel gone, and now Ham gone. And assuming LeBron opts out but returns to the Lakers, he'll pick the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's the problem with this whole thing. It would be hysterical to me still if Ty Lue, for whatever reason, does not return with the Clippers. Let's say he wants to reset, he wants out. And he goes and teams up with his friend LeBron again, when a few years ago they could have had Ty Lue if the organization would have just given Ty Lue a four-year contract and said all they wanted to do was give him a three-year contract, because if memory serves me right at the time, that lined up with LeBron's potential free agency, and they were fearful that LeBron would leave and then they would be stuck with Ty Lue, which the reason why that ever made sense to me is, though, if you get stuck with Ty Lue, Ty Lue's a good coach. So it's like, why would you be afraid of that? Now, maybe at the time you could argue, well, Ty Lue's success as a coach is with LeBron. He didn't have that Clippers chapter yet. So maybe they were skeptical. But with how many times coaching nowadays just relationship with the player, even if you had to deal with a little bit of LeBron not being there and Ty Lue still being there, it would not have been a bad thing. Like, out of all those choices, would Ty Lue be the top name for you?
Yeah, by far. I wouldn't mind Budenholzer, but I think Ty Lue would be the ideal candidate.
The only thing is, would Coach Bud, who I think is respected in the game, and I don't think Milwaukee wanted to fire him, but they felt like they had to fire him, is Coach Bud going to be the right guy for LeBron? I think Budenholzer is a heck of a coach. I don't know if it's the right fit for LeBron. Atkinson, you know, just because, like, Durant got there, Kyrie got there, and they said, oh, the net culture, what Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson built. And then the first moment they had where they could stab Kenny Atkinson in the back, they did. It's like the coach that's a little bit too demanding. I don't know if it fits, especially in this day of the NBA. Like, we see it in football now, too. And I think Budenholzer and Kenny Atkinson may be a little bit too demanding.
I do have some bad news for Stu.
What happened?
According to Woj, the Clippers are planning to pursue a contract extension with Ty Lue that will allow him to avoid entering the final year of his deal in 25-26. So it sounds like the Lakers might be out of luck.
Well, you could attempt to pursue a contract extension. Like, I could say, hey, Samter, let's say your deal was up, all right? Let's say your deal was up at the end of the year. I want to attempt to pursue a contract extension with you. If you don't want to be there anymore, it's got to take two to tango here.
Right, but Ty Lue's still under contract. So sure, he'd have to quit, give up whatever. I don't know how you quit if you're under contract.
Trading assets.
Right, you'd have to trade assets. But if the Clippers don't want to do that, like, Ty Lue's under contract. He can't force his way out of being that coach to coach somewhere else.
And also,
have we ever seen that where a coach forced his way out of a contract?
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
No, that was a little
bit
different.
He resigned as the HC of the Jets and they had to trade. Sean Payton got traded.
Traded, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what would have to happen. That's what I'm saying.
But, like, the teams have to be amenable to it. Like, the Saints had to be amenable to trading.
Yeah, that's what had to happen.
If the Clippers are like, we're not trading Ty Lue to the Lakers.
There's no way. If the Clippers had Donald Sterling still as their owner, they'd probably trade Ty Lue because, like, they were a joke of an organization. Yeah. But Steve Ballmer would not check his ego at the door and do the right thing.
Right. So at this point, if the Clippers are saying they're trying to keep Ty Lue, and we know that they're not going to trade Ty Lue, Ty Lue's not going to be the coach of the Lakers then.
Oh, I would agree with that. I think it's unlikely that Ty Lue is the coach of the Lakers. I think it's actually going to be J.J. Redick. And you know what? That's a disgrace. And the reason why it's a disgrace, it's the same damn thing. It's actually worse than when Kevin Durant got his guy Steve Nash the job, and then the first moment they had an opportunity to stab Steve Nash in the back, who should not have been the coach, was not qualified to be the coach, KD and Kyrie both did so, even though KD got Steve Nash the job. LeBron, because he does this podcast, he's buddies, now with J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick's a finalist for the Hornets job. Notice we have no announcement there. That's because J.J. Redick wants the Lakers job. I guarantee you it. And it would be a bad bad decision. The Lakers won't win crap, and J.J. Redick would be insufferable as the head coach of the Lakers because he's so smug, he's so arrogant, he thinks his you-know-what doesn't stink. If I have to deal with that guy as the head coach of the Lakers, Stu, sorry, hope the Lakers go 0-82 next season. I hope they go 0-82, they lose every game. J.J. Redick as the next coach of the Lakers. It's going to happen. There is no doubt about it in my mind. It will happen. It is the same damn thing as when KD got Steve Nash hired as the Nets head coach.
Do they keep the podcast going? Does J.J. Redick the coach and LeBron his
player? Sipping wine. Bunch of wine snobs. Oh, look at her wine. Look at her basketball insight. Oh, it's all wonderful.
You know, I would have paid good money to see a Phil Jackson Kobe podcast back in the day. Coach player.
Such a random thought, but
no,
okay.
No, I'm thinking about like coach player podcast, like Phil Jackson and Kobe sitting down. Oh, you know, man, that would have been classic.
If I ever wanted a coach to have a podcast, Don Nelson.
Oh, that would have been fun.
Don Nelson, though, post-coaching. He's, let's say he's dabbled a little bit in the ganj. All right? Him, I don't know if you can tell the difference between Willie Nelson and Don Nelson in terms of, did Willie Nelson pass away?
I think he still, didn't he turn 91 the other day?
Because they were talking about, I remember they were talking about that Nelly Kush. Yeah, he just,
91.
Yeah, he just turned 91 a week ago. But they were talking about that Nelly Kush and their love of smoking pot together. Willie Nelson and Don Nelson. Don Nelson would be very interesting on the podcast. Remember when he showed up for that anniversary when the Warriors won as an 8 seed? And man, I was like, that's Don Nelson? Really? So, ugh, J.J. Redick. Like, tell me I'm wrong, Stu. Right now, you have to take a guess. Who's the next coach of the Lakers? Who is it?
It's J.J. Redick. Yeah, I'm just, it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen, is what it is.
Samter, are we 3 for 3 here?
It's 1,000%. It's already signed, sealed, delivered.
Are we 4 for 4? Ack, J.J. Redick, the next coach of the Lakers. You think it's going to happen?
I would look at Mike Budenholzer. I'm going to say no.
I agree that Budenholzer would be a good coach. I just, as I said earlier, I don't think he's the right fit for the Lakers because sometimes that demanding coach now, who I am a fan of.
Bring back Frank Vogel.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be a bad move.
Hey, I want a title here.
Yeah. Should we get Magic to coach a team?
That would be fun. Oh, that would be so fun.
The Magic tweets.
I mean, they did that already. That didn't work.
Could you
guys
have the post-game press conferences? They scored more points than we scored, so next time we need to score more points than they need to score, so therefore the Lakers can win the game instead of having a loss in the game. What? Thanks, Magic.
Why are you sounding like a caveman when you say that?
Because that's what his tweets read like.
No, I understand that.
The most obvious observations of all time. The Lakers lost the game because they scored fewer points than the other team, and next time they need to score more points than the other team. Thanks, Magic.
Yeah.
Did you see how he blamed the Lakers season on load management and then apologized for it in a later tweet?
Did he really?
He's like, oops, sorry, I meant to say injuries. No, you didn't.
He said load management.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I'm a Magic fan. You want to know I'm a Magic fan? Because when we got pitched to have him on the show over the summer, I'm like, you got to take Magic Johnson. But I go, this got to be maybe the most boring interview ever because you read his tweets and it's just like, obviously, a crazy life. But you read his tweets, and it's like, he's not going to say anything. And when he came out swinging about Steph being maybe the greatest point guard of all time, and he had all those stats, I was like, oh, I was not expecting that. I was not expecting Magic Johnson to be that just lively on the show and that kind of debatey and also opinionated as well. So, J.J. Redick, lock it up. Signed, sealed, delivered. Going to be the next coach of the Lakers. Stu, 0-82, you ready for it?
Yeah, at this point, I'm ready for it.
I think we need to start. Stu, we may have to send you out internationally to start scouting some of these international prospects to see where the Lakers are going to be in the lottery.
Yeah. This year. Well, for whatever picks they have and are going to have after, they probably trade them all for Trae Young.
When I was leaving Wells Fargo last night, those Knicks fans, they're crazy. I started to hear when I was in my car, F Trae Young, F Trae Young. I go, they never let this guy just let go. Come on, poor Trae Young at this point. Jeez Louise. All right, coming on back with a little onside, offside. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alex in LA says, Zach, who do you like in the games tonight? You can submit a question by tweeting at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm assuming that Alex means in the association, where we have two matchups tonight with the Cavs and the Magic and the Clippers and the Mavs. But I'm actually going to go hockey tonight. You kept it vague in your question, so I'll go hockey tonight in the picks. I like the Predators to win tonight. I know they blew the game 2 games ago, then they bounced back. I think they force a game 7. They're on their home ice this evening. Vancouver is up 3-2. And Stars and Golden Knights. Man, the Golden Knights, who were up 2-0 in this series, and then DeBoer's squad won 3 straight. Games in Vegas, tough to pick against Vegas. Stars, though, rolling. I'll take the Golden Knights because it just feels like that this series is supposed to go 7 games. So I think we'll get 2 game 7s in the NHL with these 2 game 6s that we do have tonight. But without further ado, not talking about Freddie Adu, let's end the show out in some style. And we will do so with a little onside, offside. Stu, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, what we got today, Samter?
Well, the Steelers made a pair of contract decisions yesterday, opting not to pick up the fifth-year rookie options for Justin Fields and Najee Harris. Of course, Justin Fields, their new kickoff returner. Now, the former Alabama running back Harris has... I really didn't realize this until I looked at the stats. He's rushed for over 1,000 yards in each of his first 3 seasons, Najee Harris has.
Yeah.
But the emergence of Jalen Warren has made Harris maybe a little bit more expendable.
Steelers fans really don't like him, which is funny because you talk to Najee Harris, right? You've had him on your shows before.
Great talker,
work with
yeah.
me. I just like a really good, solid dude.
Yeah.
Good personality. But like Steelers fans, they think that there could be something more there. And he had 1,200 yards his first year, the 1,034 yards, and last year, 1,035 yards when it comes to rushing the football.
And the big issue is that his yards per carry has been low. It's like 3.7, 3.8, 4.1. So he's not like he's getting big chunks. Jalen Warren, was at 4.6 last year yards per carry. So clearly getting more bang for his buck each time he touches the ball. So onside, offside, the Steelers should keep Harris and pay him top running back money.
Offside, here's why. Well, it depends what top running back money is. Like, if you tell me like a...
No, not Christian McCaffrey money. But I'm talking about like some of these other top running backs, like the Josh Jacobses and the Saquon Barkley level, that whole general vicinity.
Okay,
the 10 to $12 million a year.
No. I would go offside here. I like Najee Harris. I think he's solid, but I don't think he's great. I don't think he's one of those guys like McCaffrey, you know, a Josh Jacobs, a Jonathan Taylor that you need to pay. I don't think he's an elite running back. I just think he's good. And he's already 26, you know, 3 years in a league, about to go into his fourth year. I would not give him a big-time extension yet. I think he's one of those guys that he could stay in Pittsburgh, and the extension just won't be a big extension. It will be a smaller extension because I don't think the market will be that active as what people think. So the Steelers should keep Harris and pay him top running back money. No, offside.
Yeah, that's been my issue for my life, a smaller extension. A trio of outcast receivers.
He's talking about his contract, Stu. Just making that clear.
My contract, yes.
Well, Stu looked at me, he's like, well, what the heck did he just say?
Yeah. Now, a trio of outcast receivers signed with new teams as OBJ joined the Dolphins, Chase Claypool signed with the Bills, and DJ Shark agreed to a deal with the Chargers. While all three wideouts have had success in the past, it's been quite a few years since any were impactful in the NFL. Onside, offside, none of these receivers will impact their new teams.
Claypool is what could have been. DJ Chark has suffered a few injuries. He's solid. He's fine. Odell can. Because Odell still can play. He's going to get the most open looks that he's ever received in his career because you have two number one wide receivers in front of you in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think Odell will be fine. With the Dolphins, I have no expectations for Claypool. You know, Chark will have like one or two good games, but I think Odell will impact his new team. So none of these receivers will impact their new teams. I'll say one will be Odell. So I will go offside.
Offside.
The Knicks moved onto the second round for just the third time since 2000 and will face the 6-seeded Pacers after they beat the Bucks. The Knicks, of course, are led by Jalen Brunson, but no other player averages over 17 points, while Indy has three players averaging over 17, Haliburton, Siakam, and Miles Turner.
Yeah, they play quick.
So onside, offside, this series will go at least six games.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I saw Hickey in the newsroom just a moment ago. Oh, by the way, Samter, thank you. You brought in pizza today. I just had a slice of Joe's pizza. Very good. Good slice, quality slice, fine slice. Nothing great, but solid slice. And I go, Hickey, what do you think about the series? He goes, Knicks in five. I'm like, five? I go, can we have a little respect for the Pacers? I think the Knicks win this series. I definitely believe that there's a chance this series goes seven. But at the bare minimum, it's going six. Like, if the Knicks win in five games, and I have a lot of respect for what the Knicks are doing, I would be surprised. Like, man, five games? Hickey has no respect. None. None whatsoever for the Indiana Pacers. So, the series will go at least six games. Yeah, on sides.
Now, game six of Mavs Clippers tips off tonight in Dallas with the Mavs leading 3-2. And, of course, Kawhi won't play. In his six NBA seasons, Luka has gotten past the first round just once, making the conference finals 2 years ago. So onside, offside. If the Mavs win this series, you believe they will fall to OKC in the second round.
Ooh, haven't thought about a prediction there yet. I kind of, though, even though I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, can never say that name correctly anymore because I always think of a Jack Stern sent an update to Shai Gilgeous or whatever he called him, Alexander. I don't know. I would probably contemplate warming up to the idea of Luka and Kyrie getting the job done. So if the Mavs win this series, they'll fall to OKC in the second round. I'd actually take the Mavs. So I'm going to go offside.
Offside!
The Suns are a disaster, and their big three of KD, Booker, and Beal is clearly not working. This week, ESPN's Tim McMahon suggested the Suns should trade KD.
I never get by the Tim McMahon, and then you have Dave McMenamin, I think.
Yes.
I always think they're the same person.
Yeah, it's all the same. They might actually be the same. I've never actually seen their faces appear in the same place at the same time. It's like Batman or Superman.
Well, you know, I think Dave McMenamin dates Malika Andrews, I'm pretty sure.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
That's a fine young lady right there. Well, this week, ESPN's Tim McMahon suggested that the Suns would trade KD and that their first phone call should be to OKC, where KD, of course, began his career. I mean,
ooh,
with the Sonics, but then
coming
to OKC.
Home.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming home. Oh, yeah. I don't think you can see.
So onside, offside, the Thunder, who the number one seed in the West, should try to add KD in the offseason.
Yes. Heck yes. Onsides. Now, he wins a championship there. Do we view him as the driver of that? Like, because he's the missing piece. I know it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's team, but that would be a very nice story. Like how LeBron went back and won in Cleveland after winning in Miami. That would be similar. Yeah, I think that would do wonders for KD's legacy.
That'd be his new nickname, the missing piece. He's not the bus driver. He's the missing piece.
The missing piece, yes. The Thunder should try to add KD this offseason on sides. I like that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I like that. Alrighty, is that a wrap for today?
Sure, we can try sneak in one more.
Nah.
Okay.
Don't want to throw 100 pounds of crap in a 20-pound suitcase.
I mean, I weigh about 100 pounds. It's perfect, yeah. are you threatening me to, like, chop me up and throw me into a suitcase?
No,
is this
no,
what's
no,
happening
I'm
now?
Just saying. That's like...
Joe Pesci?
We had a minute left in the show. I'm looking at the way that your next two questions are written. They're long questions.
I could shorten it, but it's all right.
I think it just would have been too much. It would have been trying too much. I think we've done a good job this week. We don't need to go the extra mile. This is just one of those weeks. It was a good week. So that's how we'll conclude it. Thank you to Samter. Thank you to Stu. Thank you to each and every one of you. Thank you to Calvin Booth for joining us, the general manager of the defending champion Denver Nuggets. And we will chat with you on Monday, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Have a fun and safe weekend. This is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We out, everybody. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Hey,
everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.